This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. It's 7:07 in the morning on Wednesday, the 8th of December. And first, let's take a look at how global markets closed yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
And it was an amazing day. It was actually the best rally since March. So the Dow was up 1.4%, S&P 500 up 2.1%, NASDAQ up 3%. Omicron, what's that? Forget about it. Obviously, that's what the market thought. Nikkei, on the other hand, was also up 1.9%, Hang Seng up 2.7%, Shanghai was relatively flat, Singapore Straits Times up 0.6%, while our very own FBM KLCI was up 1%.
It's a completely green board.
Completely green.
All right, and joining us on the line for insights into what's moving global markets, we have Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, good morning. U.S. equities continued their bullish run, with the Dow and S&P recouping last week's losses easily. How would you explain the reversal from risk off to on in such a short space of time?
Good morning and welcome to the modern day market.
Get ready for the ride.
Right. We price things in really quickly and we price them out even quicker. Look, it overreacted. It was a clear overreaction. And to some extent, you know, you don't blame it. You had this new variant we didn't know much about. There was very little news about, and it kind of, you know, scared the whole economy into, you know, reliving what we saw kind of, you know, a couple of years ago at those March lows. The point is the market doesn't like things it doesn't know. And Omicron was just an unknown factor we couldn't price in. And there was just a lot of smog or mist in the air, and the market clearly didn't like it and wanted to sell off. So you had that, plus you had a really hawkish Fed. I mean, we haven't seen the Fed be as hawkish and be as, you know, blunt about interest rates and tapering in quite a long time. And you combine that with this new variant and everybody, you know, went for the exit sign. And it was a rush out. It was a clear rush out. You saw the VIX spike. You saw a lot of cash leave in most areas. You know, there was really nowhere to hide in the last couple of weeks for that sell down. And suddenly we're starting to say, well, maybe Omicron isn't such a big thing. It's not going to, you know, deviate the global economy as we thought. You know, shutdowns are something we're probably not going to see. And all that money that left, you know, came rushing back in the hope of, you know, catching what we call a Christmas rally. And that's another point I think has led to the buy-up. This seasonality, we talk about, you know, the period between Thanksgiving and January 10 tend to be a very good time for markets, or tend to be a bullish time with reduced liquidity. And I think you saw a combination of those factors. But I think the overriding factor is what I started off with. We were just clearly oversold. It was a deep sell down that wasn't warranted, and markets now chasing that growth going back into, you know, the new year.
So, Jack, it sounds like you don't believe this is a dead cat bounce, but if I just look at the performance on a year-to-date basis, right? Mm. So I'm talking about S&P 500 up 24%, NASDAQ up close to 22%. I mean, if you were sitting on such gains, wouldn't you be thinking of locking in your profit and maybe raising some cash for the new year?
Yeah, that's a good point. But, you know, 10 yields, the 10 years trading at 1.3, right? Money in the bank gets you nothing. So, you know, you want to talk about Tina. Well, Tina's never been more alive, and there is no other alternative. So if you're an investor, even with these gains, you have to ask yourself, you know, what is my opportunity cost of taking money off the table? Well, you might miss, you know, another 3-4% and a bull run next year. I believe we're in the midst of a new 10-15 year bull run on markets. So, you know, if you take that outlook, then you should be in the market and you should be buying. So that is my perspective. And then when I look at the S&P 500 and we talk about valuations in a low interest rate environment, that's most likely going to continue. Sure, we might get a Fed rise. I think we'll probably see the Fed raise rates in March, April next year. But when we talk about interest rates on a whole and we talk about the S&P 500 trading at a 20 times, that still seems reasonable to me. It actually seems a little bit cheap. in terms of valuation. So that's the question investors need to ask themselves. Where else can I put my money? And gold ain't the place to put it at this point in time. Bonds certainly not going to get you the yield. And this sell down that we saw, I think, was a healthy one and probably the market needed. And now we, you know, we go on and sustain this rally. So I understand your point of view, but the question is, where is your money going to work best? And equity markets and US equity markets in particular are the best place for them to be right now.
Yeah, I hear you. So it's a relative game, right, at the end of the day. But I want to get a little bit granular and look at 2022. And if I had to pick, or you had to pick sectors, which sectors do you think will outperform next year? Is it going to be tech? I know, Jack, that's your favourite sector.
Yeah, I mean, I sound like a broken record. I'm not sure everybody's, you know, sick of me saying that. I still think your big cap, mega cap stocks are going to do well. I think you're going to see a lot of reweighting towards them. In fact, if you look at portfolios around the world, they tend to be a little bit underweight when you talk about its, you know, capitalization. So I still think that is a great place to go in terms of mega cap tech. If I had to talk about some granular sectors, FinPayments is one for me that I really like, particularly with the sell down that you've seen. Your PayPals, your Squares, your Visas, your MasterCards, even to some extent your Amexes. I think that'll be a really good sector in 2022 because there is still a lot of gains for these companies to be made. There's still a lot of, you know, new users and more aggressive or quantity of users to come onto these platforms. So I still think they're going to do really, really well in 2022. If I had to also pick, I think semiconductors are a great place to be. You know, we're digitizing quicker. We're moving towards hardware. You know, these are long-term trends that don't change because, you know, they've had a remarkable year. We are moving towards them and the pandemic has accelerated those trends. And I think they'll still continue in 2022. So the other one that I probably haven't talked about is, you know, you probably your reopening stocks, particularly your travel stocks. I think they're going to have a great year. I think the world has a lot of pent up savings. There is a lot of pent up demand and we want to jump on planes and sit in hotel rooms. I just asked my wife and she's a clear indicator of that consumer demand that is going to occur in 2022. So I think even though they've had, you know, a run, they've got a long place to go. Places, you know, stocks like Airbnb, I think, are a great asset allocation going into 2022. So I think it's going to be a bullish 2022. I said that about 2021, and I think we continue that into the next year.
Okay. All right, Jack. But what about tech stocks in Asia? Because while US tech stocks remain buoyant, over in Asia, the Hong Kong Tech Index is currently trading at an all-time low. So are Chinese tech stocks still a good investment opportunity? And if so, which ones are on your radar?
Yeah, and I mean, this is where I've been clearly been wrong in the last 6 months. And again, I know I sound like a broken record. I know, so we send this every 2 weeks. Look, I think Chinese tech stocks in particular are very undervalued. Now, the last year, let's take it the last 6 months. You know, the last 6 months have been a sideways to slightly downward movement in Chinese tech stocks. But, you know, they are starting to find, I believe, what a bottom. But the year before that has been an absolute romp. We've seen a couple of things come into place here where I believe you're starting to see some bottom in Chinese tech stocks. Firstly, we've seen some liquidity pushes from the Chinese PBOC. Now, we saw one last night, but we also saw one 6 months ago from them indicating they want to continue to grow, you know, and this lackluster growth we're seeing in the Chinese economy. What we've also seen is enormous structural change to the way tech stocks are regulated, to the way tech stocks start to do business. And in some areas that has hurt their bottom line. But I continue to say this is a, you know, the Chinese haven't had what the Americans or the Europeans have had in the past. They haven't had an infrastructure or a set of laws to go back on when you talk about antitrust or monopolistic behavior or growth in the market. And what they've done in the last 12 to 18 months is set that rail track down and start to set some laws to govern this massive part of their economy, which is now about 35% of their GDP and going to continue to grow. When I look at valuations, when I just look at something like Baba, which is now trading at 2017 levels, yet has had 5 times revenue growth since that time, I cannot ignore it in terms of asset allocation. Now, whether we still continue to see news out of there, that may come into play. I mean, the perfect example we saw was this, you know, proposed delisting of Chinese stocks. I can say this with a lot of confidence. You know, there's still 3 years for this to play in. And with the exception of Didi and one or two Chinese stocks, we're not going to see a massive delisting of these companies in US markets, because the Chinese still need foreign capital, and they know that. So they don't want to scare off these foreign investors. So I think if you have a long-term outlook, I still believe and I still reaffirm that this is a once-in-a-generational buying opportunity to buy some of the greatest and best companies in the world. So yes, I am still very, very bullish on Chinese tech stocks.
All right, Jack. Thanks very much for the chat this morning. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. Still a tech bull, whether you're in Asia or in the US. Mm-hmm. This is a once-in-a-lifetime buying opportunity, he says.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with The Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.